All right. Matthew 24, it should be. Let's see if it's in 24. No, probably in 25. All right. Then shall the kingdom. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven. There are two kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of... No. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of opposite. Earth. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of men. The kingdom above and the kingdom below. Both kingdoms coexist in this world. Both were created by God. But neither of them can ever be joined, merged, or assimilated, or brought into any kind of unity whatsoever. They are forever separated. You're either in the kingdom of God, or you're in the kingdom of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom, kingdom of God, is not of this world. The not means they can never be put in common. Nothing can be common. Everything in God's kingdom is holy. Nothing in the earth kingdom is holy. Did you hear what I just said? Everything is holy here. Nothing is holy here. Nothing. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. You're just lying. When you say you're good, you're lying. When you behave yourself, all you're doing is behaving yourself. But you're not good. You're just behaving yourself because it pays. You're not behaving yourself because you're good. You're behaving yourself because you're evil. I don't know if I was clear. Was I clear? When people behave themselves and when they're moral, they're evil. Because deep down inside, they're selfish. And they're only pretending to be sweet and nice and good neighbors. And it pays. It's better to sock people in the face, they'll hit you back. So it pays not to sock. But it's not because you're nice. It's because you're smart. Anyway, I go on. The kingdom of God is holy. The kingdom of this world is not holy. It's common. Everybody in the world is common. The good guys and the bad guys are all the same. That's why they killed Jesus. Here's why they killed Jesus. Because he said, my kingdom is holy, and everything in your kingdom, good and bad, is equal. So they killed him. How can you say, they said to him, that a harlot is the same as a good Christian or good Jewish person? For that reason, they killed him. Because Judaism was built on the idea that we're not like the pagans. And legalistic Christians still do the same thing. Now, nobody here is a legalistic Christian. Nobody here is a legalistic Christian. You're either a carnal Christian, you know, carnal, carnal. Has anybody ever been carnal in the last 5 minutes? Huh? Carnal, it means of the flesh. In other words, even as Christians, we sometimes get angry. We sometimes get jealous. Remember? I'll give you a list. Pride. Sometimes Christians get proud. That's evil. The next one. Anger. Sometimes we Christians get angry. Christians. Good Christians get angry. Maybe you're angry at me right now for saying it. You get angry. Lust. Good Christians. Good Christians. Born again. Lust. In other words, they're in this kingdom, but they do the things in this kingdom at times. Right? Self-pity. Anybody here? Self-pity. Poor me, you know. The whole world stinks. I've been good. I don't know why I'm being picked on. Next one. What's the next one? Fear. You can be a Christian and be afraid. But you have to confess. It's a sin. Don't be afraid. So that's this world. See? So, pride, anger, lust, self-pity, fear, envy, doubt. Okay? So all of these sins are common to us. So that's what's common. So everything in this kingdom is holy, not common. Everything in this kingdom is common, not holy. Everything in this kingdom is spiritual. Everything in this kingdom is secular. Everything in this kingdom is eternal. Everything in this kingdom is temporal. Nothing in this kingdom is temporal. Nothing in this kingdom is eternal. Do you understand? Two separate kingdoms coexisting. Now, Now, when he's talking about these wise virgins, watch how he makes a distinction between the wise and the foolish. You would be foolish if you called yourself a Christian and you weren't holy. You would not be foolish if you said, I am a Christian, holy in my heart, but I'm not yet holy in my emotions, my behavior. I'm wrong there. Then you would confess that. That would still make you holy because you confessed it. Yes, I was afraid. I shouldn't have been. I should have been rejoicing, but I was unforgiving toward that person. I was bitter. I was angry. I was envious. I was jealous. I was mean. I was nasty as a snake. How many know that as Christians, you still don't lose the old nature completely? It's no longer ruling your life, especially when you confess it. But it jumps up every once in a while, like every minute, every half an hour. Okay? It jumpeth up. Has anyone noticed it jumpeth up? So, sin cometh forth when it shouldn't, ought not to, but it do. And therefore, when it do, you say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been jealous right there. Peg, I did wrong to you right there. Forgive me. No. Sometimes Peg will say, no. But I forgive her for not forgiving me. No, that doesn't bother me at all. I just go on about my business. I don't force her to forgive me. Peg, you have to forgive me. I don't do that. If she doesn't forgive me, hallelujah. That's her problem. You see, it doesn't hurt me. It's not hurting me. That she doesn't forgive me is not hurting me. You may think it does. It doesn't hurt me. Because Jesus takes care of all my needs. I don't need Peggy to take care of one of my needs. Are you hearing me? My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. That's the kingdom of heaven. Holy, spiritual, eternal. Not the kingdom of earth. So there's only two kingdoms in this world. Kingdom of earth and kingdom of heaven. That's it. One is holy, spiritual, eternal. The other is common, secular, temporal. One is from heaven. The other is from earth. So this is the kingdom of heaven, right? Now you're all with me. So as a Christian, you will still be in this world sometimes. Don't ever think, I'm almost done with anger. No, you're not. I don't think I'm getting self-pity anymore. Yeah, you will. Well, I'm no longer envious. God has really broken that off of me. Yeah, well, you will be that afternoon. Yeah, there's no possibility. These sins come up daily. And you have to conquer them every day. Every day you get angry. Every day you get envious. Every day you have doubt. Every day you have lust. Every day, self-pity. Are you following me? That doesn't make you not a Christian. What makes you not a Christian is not repenting of it. Lord, that's not eternal. I reject that. I don't want that to be me, was me, but I reject that. Thank you, Jesus. You forgive me. Hallelujah. And you get back into His kingdom and praise Him.
The kingdom is supposed to not ruling you.
Yes.
But it's not being removed.
You have stated a very powerful thing. Correct. It's not removing them. Don't ever think in your life you're going to get to the point where you are beyond sin.
Amen.
You're not going to get beyond sin. The way you get is don't let it rule. So I'm living in the kingdom of God, and sometimes it cometh out, but sometimes the other stuff cometh out. When the other stuff cometh out, I just simply say no. But a legalist will lie, and he will call sin kingdom of God. Good. Well, you and me can have a very good Bible study. Because this is not easy to get a hold of. Because the thing that's confusing is in the middle, legalism. Christians that think they're, you know, something on their own. You don't have anything on your own. It's just Jesus in you. I love Peggy not with my own love. I love Peggy with the love of Jesus. You see, Jesus in me loves you. But I don't love you. See, you'll irritate me sooner or later. And it'll be sooner. There won't be any later to it. Everybody, sooner or later. In other words, I still have a flesh. I just don't let it rule. And nobody here can say, I'll give you a scripture because maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. 1 John. If we say we have no sin, speaking to Christians, we make God a liar. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But if we confess our sins, we Christians, then He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though I just did it, he cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Does that make sense? Now, I just experienced that I was angry, or I was lustful, or I was bitter, or I was envious. Don't hide it. I was not. I did not. You did too. Even if you don't know you did, it's a good guess you did. Even if you think, well, I don't think I was angry right there. You were. Don't worry about it. Just assume it. Because I guarantee you, it won't hurt you to confess it. Things make you angry. You still have a flesh. Your flesh is not reigning over you, but it is still there. And it somehow sneaketh up like a snake. Whoop! And all of a sudden, Eve was in the garden and the snake appeared. You know, he slithered, you see. Oh, where'd you come from? See, you ever notice how the devil will sneak up on you? Just when you think you're good, it's right there. It just bites you. You ever thought that? You ever thought, you know, I'm really getting a lot better. See, right there. Have you ever experienced that? I don't think I get angry hardly ever again. All of a sudden something will come up and it'll just make you mad. Anyways, everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
You don't have to fully understand me. Just trust me. Find out for yourself. Yeah.
You then said spiritual maturity is going to have to fail and not react to it.
And ooh, powerful statement. Powerful statement. Not denying it like we heard in the faith teaching. Well, I don't have this goiter. I'm not, angry. You're just talking about your spirit.
Yeah.
But what about your soul? You know, and then you just have to bury that and hide it and pretend. So, it's on the right track. It just, it's not quite accurate. That's what's wrong. The faith teaching is an immature teaching. It's not completely evil. It's just not completely right. Because people, in fact, can, in fact, get sick sometimes. Okay? So, he was sick a few months ago, and we sent one of our church members, whom you don't know, to go and heal him. And he got healed, just like that, on the spot. But he never got up and said, who did it? He never shared that. Just got back, and back in the saddle again. It's like everything, you know, his theology's working and so on. Wasn't his theology working at all. He didn't have any faith, and he was bent over. He could not move. Are you understanding me? The way I'm telling him, I mean, I just did. I can erase that. But the point is, it doesn't work the way people say. Life is more real than pretend. Marriage is not heaven on earth, if you're looking. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's one of your problems in your background, Carl. Because a lot of the religion you got as a little girl was false, wasn't true. It messed you up. Not sin didn't mess you up. It wasn't sin that messed you up. It was legalism. Thinking you were more than you were. You know, trying to be more spiritual and more prophetic and more whatever. You go crazy. It'll make you crazy. So going crazy is trying to put two thoughts that are opposite into your mind and make them work. You see? It isn't crazy to say, I'm a Christian and I also just got angry. That's not crazy. That's accurate. But here, in my heart, I wasn't angry. But in my soul, I got angry. You see? So I can make that division. That's why there's no contradiction there. I'm not crazy. I just simply say, I love Jesus with all my heart, but not yet with all my soul. That's coming. But it's not going to come by me denying that I just got mad or angry or envious. A lot of the faith teaching stuff is just greed. It's not at all the gift of God. It's just materialism. I'm not picking on that teaching. I'm just using it as an example. So a lot of what's going on in the body of Christ today is denying what's obvious to everybody. Any outsider can look at it and go, isn't that just greed? And you go, no, that was the gift of God or whatever. And you're just pretending. You're playing games. And it showeth up sooner or later. And I can always tell because worship isn't there. When you're a worshiper of God, you can't be a worshiper and actually feel like you're a worshiper. It's got to be done in faith. Okay, if I worship God right now, I'll do it in front of you so you can see me. I love you, Jesus. All right, now, did I feel that? Yes, but I was also thinking about you watching me. And so I had all kinds of things going on inside of me. But if you said you were a complete phony because you were just doing it for us, you're wrong. I actually was worshiping God. So, which side of me? My heart was worshiping God. My soul was all over the map. But I'm not a psychologist. I don't care about psychological states. So if somebody says to me, were you worshiping God? Yes. But I've answered spiritually. Because remember over here, it's holy, spiritual, and eternal.
He said, did you feel that? And he said, yes. Is that accurate?
Yes, because I actually felt it too. I actually, as I was saying it phonally to you, it was like a fake and a phony, I actually felt it. So both are true. I'm divided in my natural man, but my spiritual man was completely in love with Jesus, and it happened to have a component of feeling. In other words, not all my feelings were phony. Some of them were. Some were just wretched, showing off. Others were phony, wasn't that nice, and others were genuine. You realize how complex you are? Do you all realize how complex you are? Don't worry about it. You don't have to understand it. You have at least 27 personalities inside of you. You know, you have all kinds, you know. And the thing that's interesting about me is I know all of those. And I can spot you mid-sentence where which one is speaking and how many are speaking at once. I can hear it. I mean, I'm not clever. It's just that I spend a lot of time in prayer getting my own. So I've learned to recognize the voice of Satan, flesh, the world, church, legalism, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I can hear all the different voices going on all at once, and they can be all messed up to the world, but they're clear to me. I know exactly, Lord, I just sinned right there, but not here, but over here, you know. I can just, it's easy. So when people speak, you can hear the difference. Anyway, you don't even know all that. What's the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is where everything is under God's direct rule. Personally ruling. He does not rule this world personally. He made the world, but it's not subject to him. The world is sinning right now. It's not subject to Jesus Christ. The world is under, you know, George Bush or Saddam Hussein or whoever. But the world is not subject to Jesus Christ. How many know that? Even if George is a Christian, that doesn't mean everything he does is Christian. And even if he were a strong Christian, which he's not, but even if he were, in other words, he's a Christian in his heart. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that that doesn't account for all the things he does. He makes foolish decisions just like everybody else. Right? You understand? He's just a man. But even if he were, as far as you can go in this world, it's just common, secular, and temporal. It's as far as you can go in this world. That's as far as you can go. So this world offers no hope. Now, the churches are over here, but most churches look like they're over here. They're not mature. They may not be in Egypt, but they're probably still in the wilderness. They have not entered into the worship of God, the edification of the brethren, and also testimony to this lost and dying world. Now, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you're into the land and less you're into the wilderness and you're not living in Egypt too much. But I'll tell you this, even if you got rid of the middle step, you're going to always have some Egypt in you. When you go into the land, all your sin isn't gone. Did you notice that when they went into the land, they had a little Egyptian left? Remember all the wicked generation died out and only the good guys went in? But they still had some sin left. Right? Remember, all the adults died in the wilderness. Remember that? It took 40 years to kill off all those bad adults. The only two that made it were Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses didn't make it. But when the children went in, there was still some sin. Right? You can say, well, they learned it from their parents. But yeah. But the point is, you don't need to learn it from your parents to be wicked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's take it a bit further. One thing I asked God one time, I said, why didn't you get rid of this kingdom, the evil kingdom?
Mm. Yeah.
Of course, they never were the first by
right.
How do you think that all things work together for good? I mean, how do you think that two kingdoms
are beneficial? Uh-huh. Both kingdoms are created by God. Mm-hmm. Only one of them is created of God. The holy kingdom is of God. The world is not of God. It's by God, but not of God. So they still owe him. They're under the law. They're under the law of sin and death. They're under the law. And they'll all perish. So those that are of God go over and save those that are not of God. So here's a big pool of people that can be saved. But we're so busy living in the world that we don't have any message to bring to the world. Because when they see us, they just see you're of the world too. And most Christians won't admit it. They won't say, you know what, you're right, I have nothing to say. So they just start blabbing and the world doesn't listen. But when you truly are set free from the world and you confess your sins to God and then you go back to the world, they do listen. Because they go, you know what you just said makes sense. I mean, if you could sin and be forgiven, then I could too. And that's what makes them come in. So the reason he leaves this other kingdom is it keeps us alive, and it's a very good proof of how we're doing. It's a wonderful proof. If you don't love the world, you don't love God. If you don't love this world that's fallen, and, you know, you see, when people fall apart and they're not making it, that's okay. We still love them. We don't get mad at them because they aren't getting it. Right? We don't get impatient with them or, what's wrong with you? We don't get impatient. We just go, hey, I used to be like you. I was totally rebellious and slow and ignorant and so on. So I'm not mad because someone's still a harlot or someone's still smoking or drinking or yelling or screaming or whatever. Or still a hypocrite and a liar and a phony and so on. That's about me. Why? Because I was all those things. And I remember how patient God was with me. How many know that we're slow learners? We're slow learners. Right? But that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not up to you to learn. It's up to God to teach. There's no weight on you to learn, regardless of what you think. God is not waiting on you like, oh boy, I wish they'd get it. God is not waiting. He's not like stalled. He's not in a traffic jam somewhere. Gee, I wish they'd get going. We were in a traffic jam coming. The whole of whatever, the I-30 is all police car up. So. Anyways, he couldn't get through. So, you know, it's kind of like, golly, get this show on the road. You know, I want to pull off over into the side. I got to get to the Bible study. I was trying to think of all the reasons why I should break the law. That's what I was doing. But, you know, God's just cool. He just goes, be patient. And you know what? I got into the outer lane, the wrong lane, but it got me right over to where I needed to go. Got right on, so it's good. But God knows all things. He's never stalled. He's never stalled in traffic. Have you ever been in the middle of traffic and you prayed to God? And you just start praising God, and you have plenty of time now to worship God. You have nothing else to do. And all of a sudden, He can open up a way where there is no way. Have you ever done that? Instead of griping and complaining and feeling bad in the heat and so on and so forth, start praising God. Well, hallelujah. There's nothing better to do right now. I think I'll praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. You know, you can just start blessing people and have a good time. If you're in the kingdom of God, that showeth up. That you're a worshiper of God, an edifier of the brethren, and a testifier to this lost world. Right? So I'm loving God, loving the neighbor, loving my brothers and sisters, and I'm loving the world. So love, 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 love. Which is our liberty. I'm free to love. There's no fear in love. So, do I ever become afraid? Yes. Do I stay in the fear? No. Do I ever get angry? Yes. Do I stay in the anger? No. Do I ever get impatient? Yes. Do I stay in the impatience? No. Now, could you also say that of yourself? You know, sometimes I get angry, but I just say, God, forgive me. And I realize it's foolish. It's not accurate at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I talk to Jesus. Pretty soon, He sets me free. You ever done that? You don't love people that you're mad at with your own love. You love them with the love of Jesus. That's the kingdom of heaven. All right, now, let's go back to the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now remember, he's not talking about the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of earth. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's got 10 maidens, 10 girls, and they're all virgins. You know what that means? That means they love Jesus. They're born again. That's what it means. It has nothing to do with how they live. It has to do with what they believe. So they're virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. They're all in the kingdom of heaven. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now here's the difference. They're all virgin. They're all in the kingdom of heaven. But there's a difference between the wise and the foolish. Now, I want you to be wise. I don't want you to be foolish. What's the difference? I mean, I assume that's why I'm teaching this. Somebody wants to know. What's the difference between the wise and the foolish? Now remember, we're all in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to. We're all in the kingdom of heaven. But what's the kingdom of heaven about? Behaving yourself? Or is it about believing in Jesus and being totally in love with Peggy? Am I totally in love with Peggy? Well, not in my flesh. Not in my flesh. What about in my soul? Well, there, I'm up and down. But what about my spirit? Totally. You see that? So since I don't live in my flesh and my soul, I don't care about what they're doing. I just love her totally. You see what I'm saying? That means she can be anything she wants to be. She can be in the flesh toward me. She can be a liar and a phony toward me. She can be loving Jesus toward me. All the same. I don't want my wife to be anything other than whatever she is. If she's mean and nasty, which she is sometimes, I like her that way. I love mean and nasty people. And, you know, there's plenty of them. So I have a lot of people I can love. Do you love mean and nasty people? Most people don't. That shows you're a phony. You're not Christian then. Because Christians love all men. Do you love people that are unfair? That, you know, are resistant, stubborn, and obnoxious? You know, treat you like dirt? I do. I love them. That is wonderful. Just do it.
They're institutes that where the Christians are something.
You're right. Yeah, it's very profound what you just said. Anyway, they don't bother me at all because I was sinful and wicked, and I still am. So it's like, that's okay. If God could love me as I am, then I can love others just as they are. Remember it says, as God has loved us, so let us love one another? Remember it says that? Well, you can actually do that. You don't have to wait till heaven to start. You can start today. Anyway, let Peggy be whatever she wants to be. I don't want her to be what I want her to be. I'm going to say that again. I don't want her to be what I want her to be. I want her to be whatever she is. If she's nasty, no problem. I love her. Because my love isn't based upon the fact that she's worthy of my love. If she's nasty, she doesn't deserve my love, but that doesn't mean I can't give it to her. If I'm loving, who cares whether she's nasty or not? That's exactly whom God came to love, didn't it? He said, I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. He came to love sinners. So, if Peggy's sinful, she is. I'll just tell you right now, she is. She's not worthy of love. Awful. Peggy fell into the belief. There you go. Peggy is not worthy of love many times. I am not either. So there's no big thing there. So I can forgive her and love her. Amen? Did you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? I don't have to wait for her to change. I don't care if she ever changes. I don't care if she ever appreciates me or loves me or blesses me. Now, she does, bless me. But I'm just saying, I don't really care. I don't care. It doesn't make me happier because she doesn't. What makes me happy is not anything she does to me. What makes me happy is when she is herself. She's a wicked self, if she's a hypocritical self, or if she's a Christian self. I don't care. I don't care about you either. I'm going to love you regardless. And I'm going to tell you the truth regardless. If you hate me, or you thank me, or you ignore me, doesn't matter to me at all. It's not. It doesn't even impact me. Now, you say, that's very mature. Well, maybe so. All I'm just telling you is, I'm just telling you how it is. That's the way it is. Peggy can tell you, I'm living that way. I'm always living that way. So I'm not faking it. I live that way. But am I ever nasty? Yeah, of course. Am I ever phony? Yes. Am I ever genuine? Yes. So there you have it. A mixed up person. But I'm not mixed up. Because I know if I'm nasty, Jesus forgives me. If I'm a phony, Jesus exposes me. And if I'm a Christian, Jesus did it. So it's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful life. Isn't that great, Judy? That's all Jesus. Let him do a thing. I could be anything I want to be, and he loves me just like a child. You love children no matter how they behave. Little babies aren't thinking of you. They're not thinking of you. They're not thinking, oh, mother, could I please you? They're not. And even when they say they are at 3 and 4, they're not. Mother, I was very good today. They're just talking about outward behavior. Because as soon as someone takes something from them, their teeth will come out. You'll see another side to them. You ever notice that? You are such a bad little girl. Sometimes someone say, you used to be so nice, but you've become mean these days. No, the child's exactly the same as they've always been. Just coming out. Maybe a new baby was born into the family or whatever. It just brings out a part of them that wasn't brought out before when they were spoiled. Do you understand? Human nature. People are all the same. I don't find any difference. I would be at home in a bar as much as I am in a church. Do you understand? I'll be home in jail as much as I am free. I'll free. Doesn't matter. People are the same. I would not expect to find anyone different in prison than I would out here. People that are free, I'll see no difference. Now the rest of the world sees a big difference. I don't. I don't see any difference. They're people too. They cry, they hurt, they love, they desire, they sin, same as everybody else. All people are alike. Isn't that sad? Not to me. But most people really work hard at not being something else. But I don't. I don't want you to do that. If anything good happens, I know it's Jesus. I'm not going to give you credit anyway. Oh, you understood me. Thank you. No, you won't hear me doing that. If you get it, I know it's a miracle. I have no idea how you understood. I have no idea. But it's a blessing. Now, the teaching that I'm giving you today is not normal. But I'll tell you something. It will help you to live in the real world, and it also is pleasing to God. This works. The other does not work. The other does not work. You can only fake so long. The older you get, the more pressure you'll feel on yourself for being fake. So don't be fake. Just be real. In our church, you don't have to be nice. You can be nasty. And some of you have helped. It's not a problem. No, I'm serious. We don't forgive people that are nice. We forgive people that are nasty. Right? All right. So in the kingdom of God, what's happening in the kingdom of God? There are 10 virgins. They're all virgins. 10 virgins. That means spiritually speaking, they have never slept with another man. A virgin is someone who has not had intercourse with anyone else, So, she's kept. Now, these virgins all love God. They're all totally in love with God, spiritually. But 5 of them are foolish and 5 of them are wise. Now let's see the difference. Matthew 25, verse 2. I'm not even done with verse 1. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Why does the bridegroom come at the wrong hour? You know what time he's coming? Why did they have to take their lamps? This is before the days of Edison. Because the cry comes at midnight. In other words, when the world is as dark as it can get, it's getting there, people. The world is getting pretty dark, right? If not to everyone else, at least to you. It's a dark world out there. It's dark. I'm telling you, it's not a hopeful, optimistic, positive kind of, you know, everything's going to be fine. Better days are here again kind of thing. No. People are all depressed everywhere, anywhere in the world. But we are not. We're excited. We're happy. Right? The darker it gets, the brighter we become. Amen. Amen? The harder it is, the better. I like the most impossible, the most difficult, the most troublous, the most hopeless situations. Those are always the best. You know, Joe, if you would light a lamp or light a match today in this room, because there's so much light outside, it would hardly show up. But if you would turn out all the lights and you'd light that same match in the dark, it shows up. You can suddenly see everything around that little match. Now, when the world gets darker, the light gets brighter. But really, the light is just the light. It's not really any brighter. It's just that the world's natural light, the natural light of this world, shuts out the Holy Spirit light that you have. As a matter of fact, the darker things become right now, the better. Because, thank you, Harold. I saw that. I noticed that. the darker it becomes, the brighter your light becomes. Do you realize this is our finest hour?
Okay.
This is our finest hour, and you are the finest people God has ever had.
Okay.
Now, one of those statements is not exactly true. but God doesn't want anyone special. He wouldn't have come to earth if he did. He'd just take anybody. God is not choosing. He'd take absolutely anybody under any circumstances, under any conditions at any time. Isn't that amazing? That's how he got me. I mean, to get me, he really had to be desperate. You know, like, goody, goody, goody. You know, it's like, man, I knew when I became a Christian, I knew, God, you're getting the worst person you could ever get. I'm not only the worst person, I will be the lousiest minister you've ever had. That's what I believe. I knew it. You don't want me. Don't pick me on your team. If you want, the team will go down. Have you ever thought that of yourself? You know, whatever team I join, it always goes down. If I get on the team, you know, might have been all right before I got to it, but the team will go down. Or did you have pride thinking, if I got on the team, it would be better? I don't know, which do you have? That's good. I will improve this team. This team is fortunate to have me. Pick me first. You know, I was always the kid when we were little, raising my hand in the back, pick me, you know. I mean, I'll work hard, come on. No, and they'd look right at you and no, and then look around. Look for anybody and there was no one else, you know, you'd be the last one even, you know. No, let's see, you take him. Nobody wants you. Isn't that great? Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think that's funny? Nobody wants you. You ever been in that boat? Sometimes your own children will reject you. I'm telling you, it's a great boat to be in. To realize you're not worthy. You're not welcome. You're not valuable. You can just be totally overlooked. People can just ignore you. You're sitting right there and they don't even notice you. That's painful to a lot of people. When I was a little kid, that was always painful, but I came every day anyway. Pick me. Did the same thing every day. Pick me. You know, and it's like you're a loser and you just don't want to admit it. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? And it does dawn on you that maybe you're a loser, but you don't want to say it. You don't want to think that. No, really, I'll work hard. I mean it. I promise. Oh, it's glorious. Peggy and I have the story when we first dated. You know, I made an oath to her. Peggy, I'm not going to date anybody this summer. What about you? Well, no one will probably ask me. How many know that was not exactly the same statement I just made? I'm committing. I'm not going to date anybody. I'm just going to stay true blue. I'm for you. Well, no one will probably ask me. And I'll tell you what, in other words, if somebody does, you know, let's talk about that. But I was too proud as a young man to say anything, so I just took the hit. Now, what I should have done, I should have said, well, all right, then I'll date around too. You don't think that much of me. But I didn't. I was such a low esteemed person. I just went, oh. And I didn't even challenge her. I just went home, and all summer long we wrote. It seemed like it was okay. And then I'd come back to school, and I said, well, as a joke, well, how was the blonde you went out with last night? And her eyes got real big, because she had been out with a blonde the night before. I had no idea. Oh, well, praise the Lord. There you have it. I mean, you are really a loser. You see that? I mean, I trusted in you all summer long, and I was committed. I didn't date, and I, you know, because I, you know, committed. And she didn't reciprocate. Well, what was bad about that was we did it again the next year. And, you know, after a while you begin to think of yourself as a loser because, you know, she's looking right at me and she's going, no, let's see, you know, and she's looking around. And every time I turn my back, she's dating somebody else. And it's like, I didn't get the message. Like, how dumb can you be? Just go with somebody else. Find another one. Find someone that's excited and eager to be with you. Now, Now, that's all in the flesh. You understand that? That's all human in the flesh, not Jesus or anything like that. But the best shot I had for what it was worth, which was nothing. That was the best shot I had. But Peggy didn't give it her best shot. Hers was, you're okay, and you know we can be friends and stuff like that, but I'm still looking for somebody good, and you're not it. And here, if you're the only one around, okay, I'll be with you until summer comes. Anyway, it gets even worse than what I said, but that's good enough. The point is, we can be such losers that here we are doing the same stupid thing like insane people, still hoping something's going to change. You know, I can look at Gone with the Wind many times, and maybe he won't say damn or something one time. Didn't he say something? Whatever he said, what did he say? Exactly. And I keep watching it, think it'll turn out different. He'll like her. You know, whatever. And the little girl won't die. I mean, I don't like watching the same movies because they all come out the same. And I want them, something in me wants them to be nice or come out good. Is anyone else stupid like I am? But I'll watch that movie and fall for the same thing every time. And here I am still hoping the girl won't get the guy or, you know, whatever. She'll return to her husband or whatever. It doesn't work. Is anybody else foolish like I am?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're insane because you're doing the same thing expecting something different to happen, and it's never going to happen different. Anyway, so that's how we got married. When I asked her, you know, Peg, make a decision now. We've been together for 5 years. I'll give you 5 minutes to make a decision. You want to marry me or not? I want to marry you. I'm ready to get married. You want to marry me? And no, she wasn't excited. I could tell. I really was not excited. And finally she said something like, well, I suppose, yeah. Okay. All right. It wasn't exciting at all. Now, I would have better get a no. A no would have been better. Or a yes. But I got a, well, okay. And what she was thinking was, I don't really want to get married to him. There probably are some other guys out there that would be more interesting. He is embarrassing. We do fight a lot. I don't even know if he likes me that much. But I don't want anyone else to have. So I'll say yes. Isn't that deep? And of course, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I picked up. She doesn't really eagerly want to be married to me. But we went ahead with it. And it was all downhill after that. Do you understand? Do y'all understand? I think it's funny. Don't you think it's funny? And then, on top of all that, I became a Christian. So that was even funnier. That ruined my whole deal. Because I couldn't even fantasize then. I mean, at least if you have a bad relationship, you can fantasize. If you don't divorce or leave, at least you can watch a lot of TV or read romantic novels or do something. You can imagine things that aren't even true. Y'all living in the real world? That's the way it is in the real world. That's what people do. And so, but Jesus had a better idea. Jim, what you're looking for is not someone that'll love you or someone you can love. What you're looking for is me. No, I'm not. I don't want Jesus. I don't want you, Jesus. I want things here. I don't know about another world. I'd like them right here. I said, no, no, no. When you get something here, you're not really having anything. What you want is eternity. No, I don't. I don't want eternity. I want time. I'll worry about eternity after time. And now, you don't. And that took me 7 years. He just kept pursuing me year after year after year. For 7 years, I said no. And that's not a no based on not knowing the offer. That's based on understanding the offer. It's like, nah, I know it's right. I just don't want to give up my life. I like, it's a crummy life, but I like being in charge of it. Anybody else can identify with the pathetic person I was? It's not really that neat a life. It's not working out at all like I had in mind. Very different than the five foolish virgins. The one group was satisfied just to get out of Egypt and to get born again. But the next group wanted to be discipled and go on into the promised land. Now, most people here are in the middle of those two groups. There's a third category. But the middle category is really nothing more than the first category. Lying to yourself. It's just simply, you're still in Egypt. And even though you got born again, you're still living in Egyptian terms, even though you're legalistic, you go to church, you're outward, you're pretending like you're living for God. And even to yourself, you think, well, I'm a Christian. I mean, I don't do this anymore, so I must be a Christian. But really, in your heart, you still think Egyptian. You're still selfish. You still want for you. You still want pleasure. You still don't want pain. You still don't want to die. You still, yourself isn't dead. Hello? Help me here by saying, Pastor, you can go on because I totally understand what you just said. Do you understand what I just said? Good. So, there are two categories, but there's really three. There's the foolish, which only leave this world, get born again, and then pretend like they're living like a Christian. Most of them are liberal, fall back into the world, the dog going back to its vomit. Others keep it up for years and are bitter. Bitter. You know any Christians that are bitter? You're not bitter if you go out to the bars and whatnot. The people that are bitter is those that didn't go to the bar. Stayed with their rotten, no good, unreliable husbands. So on and so forth. Are you understanding me? Then you get bitter. That's how you can tell they're Christians. Because they're not having any fun. I mean, at least the worldly people can go out and get, you know, drunk a little bit, fool around and mess around, and they got a few minutes pleasure, and that's it. And, you know, that's about it. But the Christians don't even get to do that, because they have to go to church, pretend like they love God, and go through everything, and it's a boring life, and there's no interest to it, and their marriage is routine and sick and boring and whatnot. And, you know, life just goes on. And they have to be happy, too, and they're not. So that's not much fun, right? Y'all know anybody like I'm talking about? Of course, nobody here, I'm talking about anybody here, because we're all in love with Jesus, and we're all passionate worshipers of God, lovers of the brethren, and testifying to this world, you know. But there are some other kind of Christians, the Methodists, a few Presbyterians. All right. So what God wants is children that are happy all the time. So when you're a believer, a wise virgin, you got plenty of oil in your lamp. That no matter what comes up, even if he comes at midnight, the wrong hour, I'll be ready. I'll quickly be able to put the oil in my lamp, light it, and go out and meet him. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Light my lamp, get up, because, you know, they had to have a little flint thing to light their lamps. They didn't have matches. So they had to have a little flint thing, click it, and it lights up. You've seen those, right? Anyway, so it lights up, and there's the little oil. But what if you didn't have? What if you had enough oil to put in the lamp, so when you went to bed at night, the lamp then went out because you ran out of oil, and now you don't have any more light. That's what the foolish did. They had enough oil to get out of the world, to get into Jesus, but not enough oil to carry on and enter into the kingdom. You see, they never met the bridegroom. Religion is not what it's all about. You're not leaving the world to become religious, to behave yourself, to be nice looking. You're leaving the world to get to know Jesus, to worship him, to know him. Most Christians are not trying to know Jesus. They're just simply trying to get out of the world and using Jesus, kind of raping Jesus, to, you know, clean up their lives a little bit and then go to heaven. They're still thinking of themselves. Heaven is not going to a place. It's meeting somebody, falling in love with Jesus. Well, in my case, I didn't go to religion at all. I went straight to Jesus. I just fell in love with Jesus. I mean, this is my story. Is I went from total paganism to total falling in love with Jesus, night and day, just like that. I skipped over, you know, I went around gold. I went all the way back to jail or whatever I did. I just went straight to Jesus. Because I wasn't interested in this world. I was already worldly. And I wasn't interested in being good because I knew I didn't have any good in me. Now, none of you do either, but some of you are faking it longer than others. You know, you keep it up, being decent, pretending like You don't have lust, you don't have anger, you don't have bitterness, you don't have, you know, you don't have all those sins that bedevil the poor people out there. But you're the same as everybody else. You have just as much lust as Hugh Hefner or whatever his name is. You're just as envious, and you're just as bitter, and you're just as angry, and you're just as impatient, and so on, as anybody else in this world. And all you got to do is get into any relationship somewhere and walk them out. The minute you get into a relationship with another human being, your sins will come out. Now, if you stay superficial, they won't. If you just have business relationships, sin doesn't have to come out. It'll be there, but it doesn't have to come out. But you get into an intimate relationship, like in a church or in a marriage, it's going to all come out. It's just not going to last, and you're going to have to lie more and more to yourself that you're really happy when you're not. You want to choke that other person. You want to kill that other person. You want to, you know, control them. You want to enslave them, right? And you get really irritated. You can just feel the irritation, like, do what I say. I know what's right for you. I want you to be like me. But what we really want is just them to be under us. You're embarrassing me, and you have a lot of potential, just not rising to it. And I am here to help you get to your potential. And I'm going to be irritated until you please me in this. Did you know how mean you can be? Raise your hand if you know how mean you can be. It can be a very, very effective, mean person. And we can do it with the Christian smile, too. We can do it with Christianity all over the map. But the truth is, you are still wicked. I wake up every day as wicked as I did the day I was born. And it doesn't shock me. I'm not shocked by it. I'm not amazed at all. Does it shock you? Because if you do, you're religious. If it shocks you that you're still bitter, or you're still angry, or you're still lustful, or you're still envious or jealous or whatever, then you don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to show you every day you got all those sins. Every single one. You get mad, but as a religious person, you learn how to bury it. Religious people deny more than other people. They bury more than other people. Religious people are gifted at deception. You're looking at me like this is new, and I know it's not new because you've heard me say it for years. But look at me like this is a group that understands thoroughly. You know. Harold, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For you. Amen. Yeah.
You know, I've got to ask something, because yes. I understand all this, I understand, you know, wicked every day, you know, every
yes.
single day. But when are we going to start talking about our identity in Christ, and knowing each other no longer according to the flesh, but according to Christ in you?
Well, who's stopping you?
Nobody. It's like all we do is talk about how wicked we are.
Yeah, because people aren't there.
Okay.
If you care about people, then you want them to be real. You don't want them to be artificial. Let me say something strong. God doesn't love artificial people. He loves real people. Well, if you then say who you are in Christ and everybody just becomes phony, because there's no way you can tell the difference now between really being in Christ and faking it. There's
okay.
no way. You're just deceiving all those people, plus the people that are trying to grow in Christ. They're not going to grow.
Okay.
So that teaching does not work.
But if you cast me in that role, I will act it. And if you tell me who I am in Christ, I will rise to that.
No, but nobody's casting me in that role, and I'm not acting it. When I do, I confess it, say it to Jesus, and move on. It doesn't.
Well, I just had to say that I'm done. I'm not being critical.
No. Right. But that teaching doesn't work. That teaching is what's popular out there. That teaching does not work. Because at least, that's why we're doing this chapter, by the way. It leaves people under the illusion that they're a virgin, therefore they're all right. No. There's wise virgins. And there's foolish virgins. And if we don't see that middle term, you see, the middle term is what's confusing the world, not sin.
Okay, well, I'm going to say one more thing, because I've met some of the meanest people in my life in this church, and it seems like you give them a license to continue to be mean.
Right. You don't need to give people a license to be mean. They're mean anyway. You don't need to give them a license. They're mean anyway. What you're doing is taking away their mask.
I'm done. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. But see, the meanest people is you. You're the meanest people. There is no such thing as the meanest people in the world unless it's you. I've never met a mean person. I've only met me.
Amen.
What the Holy Spirit is working on is not how to get us improved. When you're in love, you're in love, you're in love. That's not hard. You don't even have to talk to those people. What he's working on is the confusion between those that are in the flesh and those that claim to be, and they're born again, but they're foolish. And they think that they have enough oil, they're going to make it. And they're not, and we're lying to them. And they're not going to grow up. I don't care how much teaching you give, or Ken gives, or anyone else, it isn't going to work. It will not work. Even for him, it won't work. So you don't want that.
Does each person know whether or not they're being the foolish one or not?
Sure. Yes. Anyone who's a lover, who's in covenant, the difference between a covenant and a contract, anyone who's in covenant with God is a lover. And nothing bothers you. The way you can tell is because nothing bothers you. No one disturbs me. No one bothers me. No one is taking away anything from me. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to die. It means nothing to me. That's how you can tell. See, all the pain in the world doesn't pain me. If it does, you're not ready to die. You're not in. You see, when you're in love, you don't count the cost. But when you're not in love, you count the cost. And you feel the pain. You see. But when you're in love, you don't.
Okay, so if you are one of those people, how do you use your pen? I'm one of those people.
Sure.
I'm foolish.
If you're a foolish maiden, you mean?
Yeah.
If you're a foolish maiden? No, a foolish maiden will not repent.
I feel like I'm that person. I feel the pain. I don't want out of my pain.
You can't get out. Even if I encourage people to be like that, a foolish person is going to stay a fool. They're not going to get out.
Stay a fool? Mm-hmm.
You can't get out until your foolishness becomes so obvious that you can't move from 2 to 3. You can only move back to 1. Okay. Living in the flesh, living in your soul, living in the spirit. 3 is spirit, 2 is soul, 1 is carnal, flesh. No, they're not all Christians. The only way to become a 3 is to become a 1, because 2 doesn't exist. 2 is a lie that has to go back to 1 before it can go on to 3, because there is no 2. In other words, the illusion has to be gotten rid of. So, the problem with the teaching of who we are in Christ and so on and so forth isn't going to work, because there are more 2s in the world than there are 1s or 3s.
Okay, Jim, what do you say to, we know no man according to the flesh? What do you say to that?
I don't know anybody according to the flesh.
Okay. Well, it seems like that's all we're doing is knowing people according to the flesh.
I don't know them according to the flesh. I'm not dealing with them according to the flesh.
Your teaching is confusing, and I don't think I'm the only one.
I hope you're not. I hope you're not. Was Jesus always clear? Was Jesus clear? No. Did they ever understand him? No. So being confused is normal. There is no such thing as a teacher that's clear. That's impossible. If Jesus Christ, the best teacher in the world, couldn't be clear, how could anyone else be clear? Did his disciples ever, at any time, understand him? Never. And he's the best teacher in the world. They never understood him. One time they thought they understood him, and they said, "Oh, now you're speaking plainly." And he said to them, "Do you now understand?" And the answer is no. The only way you can come to an understanding is to be a lover. When you're a lover, you don't have any questions.
Amen.
If you don't love people that are lost, then you don't want to try to reach them. I do. I want to reach the pagan, and I want to reach the legalist. I want to reach the licentious and the legalist. I'm not worried about the ones that are lovers, because they grow anyway. A lover is a lover is a lover is a lover. It's the legalists that are in the road for the licentious who can't get into the kingdom because of the legalism. So if you're truly a lover, your concern is not for yourself growing. Your concern is for the licentious who can't get in because of the legalistic. This is the problem today in the church. We have a lot of people in churches. They're not going to make it because they're right here. They're foolish. And if we can't distinguish between the wise and the foolish are such, you see, it's not wrong to be where you are. It's wrong to call that good. So you just say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. I am still worried about me. Let's get rid of it. It's a sin. Now you're not...
And he said there is no getting out of it.
Not if you stay there. I'm just saying, that's where I am. But you confess that, you become a one. You just went from two to one. In other words, gee, I'm still concerned about, you know, my sin and so on and so forth, and other people hurting me and so on. That's all selfish on my part. I've just become a one again. That's how you can be a three.
Amen.
Only ones can be threes.
A one becomes
a three when it accepts the fact that it's a one and it'll always be a one until Jesus Christ makes the difference.
Okay, now what's a one?
Yeah,
a one is carnal.
Oh, I can take that.
Okay. Yeah. A one is that you're nasty and selfish, and that's why we talk about it, because you'll never be a Christian unless you can accept the fact that you're not what you say you are, you're what you are. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this room sins every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not dwelling on it. We're only trying to point out that you still are, so stop lying to everybody else and to yourself. No, if you're confessing it, that's how you're growing. That shows you're a three, because you're willing to be a one.
Every day, I confess a fearful, unbelieving heart. Every day.
Right.
I have a fearful, unbelieving heart, and I said, Lord, I cannot change that.
Right.
I'm powerless, I'm hopeless, and you can't change it.
Amen. And he has, and that's why you're a three. Yes, Judy.
Maybe you say, oh, something to help her. When we first started coming to the church, I heard you say the same things over and over, and it made me mad.
Right.
Because I didn't realize, I never believed that I was good, but I didn't think I was as bad until you knew that about Carolyn. God dealt with me specifically, and it set me free to this day. That I don't expect people not to be mean or nasty, even in our church. See, when you expect that of them, you're doing the same thing that I was doing. I was thinking I wasn't so bad.
Right.
And if you get offended by that, then you're still not, you don't see that about yourself. Like that's what Joe was saying. I see myself totally wicked, and it doesn't mind me up. It sets me free.
Amen.
And it has set me free to know who I am.
Amen.
And I don't want to stay there, but I know I'm still going to be wicked and sinful.
Exactly. Right.
Now, where you're at, not where you're at, where you're
at. Now, okay, let me say something, because I know that I am totally wicked. I know that.
Okay.
And I've been that way, and I would be that way today, and it will rear something up at a moment's notice.
Okay.
At a moment's notice. But what I've been discovering is how much joy I have in Christ. And I guess that's what's so incredible to me, that, you know, I like to stay there. I mean, I know that I'm wicked. I know everybody else is wicked. And these are some of the meanest people I've ever seen. But that's okay. I still accept it. I mean, but I'm just saying that I like to talk more about what an incredible life this is. I mean, every single thing is taken care of us for us. We live from grace to grace to grace and glory to glory. And, you know, I get up there every morning and I'm so free. And I'm so at rest. And I just come here and then all the thoughts come out of me. So that's what I'm saying. I know I'm wicked. I know everybody else is wicked.
But you see, don't you care in that your children are getting it? Do you only care for yourself? Are you only worried about yourself? If you care for others who are not getting it, then that's your focus. Your focus is not on you because you're getting it. You're fine. You're happy in Jesus and going on. But your care, the proof that you really are free, is that you care for others, not for yourself. You don't care for yourself. You're caring for those others that are licentious and caught in it. And they're lying and caught it. That's what your care is. Not how to get the good people to go on. They're already, they're free. And the sign that they're free is that they don't care about themselves any longer because God cares for them. And therefore, their only concern is, Lord, what about these others? I want to be such a light to them that they want to have the same thing I have. And I'm not lying about my sin. I'm not going to hide it. And I'm not uncomfortable with it. I'm very comfortable with it. It's normal. It's natural. Therefore, I can give hope to that person that's caught in it. And I can give hope to the person that's lying about it. Because they don't have to lie about it. They can become a one so that they can become a three, just like me. And so that's why the major teaching here is not how to get people saved, but to be discipled. Because I'll tell you this, there's no one today, hardly at all, who is moving into the land. They're all caught in the wilderness. They're all caught in the wilderness. The church, not just an individual here and there, the whole church, all of them, are caught in the wilderness. They're not happy all the time. They're not worshiping all the time. They're not living heaven. I'm not talking now about wanting to be a Christian. I'm talking about doing the will of God. They're not doing the will of God. They're only wanting to do it, but they're not yet across the Jordan River doing it. Therefore, there's no real worship going on. There's no real edification and caring about your brethren going on. And there's no real testimony to this world so that they could say, you're a Christian. I can tell you are different, and I'm convicted. I want to be like you. That is not taking place. The church today is in the wilderness. It's still caught in legalism. So therefore, we can't speak to this little ideal little group because it isn't ideal. If it were, it would be happening, and the whole world would be convicted. You don't need to have thousands and millions. You just have one or two or ten or a dozen. It's enough to change the whole city. If we had just a dozen, if this many people in this room could change the whole city. If we were truly in worship of God, but no, we're bogged down still in all of our sins. That's why we want to bring them up. They're not an embarrassment. You have to look at them because they're still causing problems with our children, with our grandchildren, with our neighbors, with other church members because we're still hung up and we're not free. So, you know, as a Christian, you can talk about sin all day long. It doesn't depress me at all. Because every morning I get up and talk to Jesus about my sins. Not depressing at all. It's the very thing we just talked about a few minutes ago. I'm not bogged down by it because he forgives me. Every time I sin, he forgives me. And every time he forgives me, he gives me the Holy Spirit. And every time he gives me the Holy Spirit, I'm powerful beyond the sin.
Dean, don't you think that our church preaches salvation?
Yes.
And that's it. And when it says so, and that's how the Bible's called, it doesn't stress that.
Right.
And we're, to be a disciple is why we...
Right. Right.
But that's not...
Right.
That's not
right. Look, you know, you either don't know the people, you say you're knowing the people, you either don't know them, because they're caught still in sin. And it's destroying them. Divorces and pornography and surfing the internet and self-pity and blah, blah, blah. That's the truth. That's not just, oh, let's just pass over that and talk about who we are in Christ. That doesn't help a thing. That does not make you mature. You can talk about who you are in Christ all day long. Still, the fact is, people are committing adultery. People are still, you know, hating one another. Their children are still on dope. And there's all kinds of horrible things are happening, and we're going to ignore that? That's what's real, not talking about all nice, fine words. This word is all about wise and foolish virgins. So we want to talk about what he's talking about. When he was here, he didn't deal with how to build them up in Christ. He was dealing with the devil himself. He was going straight after the devil, setting people free from sin. Not making people feel good about, you know, who you are in Christ. Wasn't doing that. He told them, you know, you have to be willing to suffer. You're going to take up your cross and follow me. So the other kind of preaching which builds big churches today isn't accomplishing what God wanted accomplished. They're still in the wilderness. They're not truly worshiping. They're not truly edifying. And they're not truly testifying to this world. It's purely worldly churches. Those are worldly, carnal churches. Appealing to the flesh, leaving people in the flesh. They're still caught in their sins. And our world is going to hell in a handbasket, and here the church is blithely going on, and nothing. It's going nowhere. Just because, oh, well, we're Christians. We're Christians. We're not. Then you don't care about your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors because they're in deep trouble. I tell you, these kids today in school, they're into witches and dragons and everything. I mean, there's no Christianity left. You've got to realize that it's the sin that's killing us, not because we're not preaching Jesus. It's the sin that's killing us. Christians are still carnal. They're still caught in sin. And so we can't be teaching about, you know, all these wondrous things that don't have any impact on your life at all. We want to teach the things that actually help people in the real world to get free so that they're all worshipers of God. The best has been saved to the last. This is the most difficult generation. This is a toughie. You're not looking at a world that's easy. You know, our own country's in deep debt, and is the church not? You know, I mean, everything that's happening in the world is just a reflection of the church. The church looks just exactly like the world. So, no, it doesn't depress me to talk about sin. It's great, because sin is forgiven. So, talk about it all the time. It's not a problem at all. Because sin is forgiven. But Christians aren't hearing that. They're not receiving that. They still are, you know, hiding, a lot of hiding in the body of Christ. Not a lot of sinning. You think there's a lot of sinning? Mm-mm, not at all. That sin is all hidden. They're not confessing publicly in the church, you know, oh, here's all my sins, weeping over it, crying at the altar. That's not what's happening. People are covering. People are afraid to be sinful.
Have I been giving the wrong testimony?
No, you have not. No, you're perfect. Perfect. Perfect testimony every week. Very strong. Now, the truth is that in our church, there people are actually, like Judy just said, and like she just said, they're actually moving on into the promised land through this bad kind of teaching. That's actually the good kind of teaching. No, I'm telling you, you know, you're just not looking in the right places if you don't realize that's how you get set free. Same way Jesus did, same way Paul did. Paul never began his letters about who you are in Christ. He first of all had to go over our sinfulness, Romans. Talk about the sin. Then talked about salvation. And then he talked about behavior. Therefore, because that's true, let's walk in it. But that brings up sin again. If you're going to walk in it, you're going to find that's where the problem lies. Look, we're losing our children and grandchildren. I don't know, you know, who you guys are, but they're just... You got to get them. You got to get them saved. You got to get them then set free. Yours are all saved? That's good. That's good. But we happen to know that there's a little problem. You know, there's a few little problems. And you got to get all those. You don't want to almost have your son. You want to have them totally. You want to have everybody totally. I don't want second best. I don't want to have, you know, one of my grandchildren. Yeah, and I want all my children, grandchildren, mothers, aunts, uncles, everybody. I want to get them all in. And I want every Christian in our church to be mature in Christ.
Amen.
So you got to start then at the bottom. You're not going to start at the top. You're going to start at the bottom. If talking about the top would do it, then it would have been done a long time ago. Because there are many churches talking about who you are in Christ all day long. All of the Bible churches talk about it. All the faith churches talk about it. You know, it's typical in the evangelical world to talk about grace rather than law and so on and so forth. It's not helping.
It's all positive. It's all positive.
All positive and it's all flesh. It's totally what the flesh wants to hear. It's not what the spirit wants to hear. Spirit is not troubled by sin. I'm not troubled by sin. Sin is not what's getting me. I'm in love with Jesus. That's why I'm talking about sin, because that's what he's talking about. When we meet together, I can tell him, I love you, Jesus, and he's going to say, what about this? Ooh, and we're going to get at that. So that's great. So this is Jesus. But you cannot hear that if you're caught in sin. If you're caught in sin, you're not going to hear it. You can say Jesus all day long, but if you're caught in sin, you're going to hear about the sin. You tell them who they are in Christ, but they're still going to feel guilty about their sins. They're going to feel bad because they're not having happy marriages. We don't have happy marriages. That's not what's going on. People are ready to divorce and leave each other. Ours is probably the only church, I'm just going to say this foolishly, where there are no divorces. But in every other church, there's tons of them. But there hadn't been any for 30 years among the members. I'm not talking about somebody who's barely in. And anyone that gets a divorce, we're going to go right there to get reconciliation. Because we're not going to allow that. So that's how you enter into the promised land. That's not just talking about it. Because you're hurting families, you're hurting, everyone wants to quit and leave, you know, you get in the difficulty. So, anyway, Jesus is wonderful.
I heard a lot about, when I first got saved, about your identity in Christ, and that is important. But until I realized that I had to deal with sin in my life, I didn't find out that until recently, that to know my sin is actually a blessing, because you can never deal with those issues until you know what the issue is.
Right.
An issue is you're trying to be someone that you're not,
right,
and not allow the one who is be who he wants to be in your life.
So right.
I think you have to see it and repent and turn away from it and allow him to come in.
Right.
Make that change.
Right. Look, I'll give you one scripture that if you think about this scripture, it will make your mind focus differently. Jesus said that my bride will not have one spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's why it's not wrong to be concerned about spots or wrinkles or any such thing on the bride. Because the bride, if she has one spot, she's going to be rejected. She is not going to make it into the kingdom. In other words, the kingdom is not just a place we're going, where it's stages along the way. We've got to bring people from stage one through two, not two, through two, into three, so that they grow up in every way. So you start out carnal, then you become soulish, then you become spiritual. And we have to bring everybody, the whole family, not just some of us. We're not just trying to get a bell-shaped curve, a few of us. Paul says, my prayer is that every man, be mature in Christ. Not just some. Well, that's not so easy. But if your only goal is to take a handful of people and get them in, then you don't have to worry about the rest of them. That's not the spirit of Christ. I can't leave the Jewish people out, and I'm not going to. And I know what's preventing the Jewish people today is the phoniness of Christians. It's not Jesus at all. That's not what they're bothered about. It's that Christians aren't Christian. And they can see right through that. And that's why they're not even interested in Jesus, because they can see that Christians don't have the joy of the Lord. They don't have forgiveness. They don't have love. They have the same divorce rate. They have the same murder rate. You know, they can see Christians aren't in fact Christian. They're not talking about what they believe in. They're talking about what they're doing. They're looking for the do, and they don't see the do. There's no power. So they're not looking for magic and miracles and stuff, talk. They want to see the reality. That's why there's spots and wrinkles in the church today. We're hoping that when we get to heaven, it'll be removed. No, get rid of the wrinkles now.
Right.
Get rid of all the spots now. If you don't work on your wrinkles and spots, what are those but sins and blemishes? What else is there? We're not trying to fall in love with Jesus. These are people that already fell in love with Jesus. They're already Christian. But they have a conditional contract, not an unconditional covenant. Conditional means, well, now don't make it hard. Don't make it so that my flesh hurts. Well, wait a minute. That's what love is all about. Love is not about, if Peggy's a perfect wife, I'll love her. No. Love is all about, I don't care what kind of wife she is, I love her because of Jesus Christ in me. Just like he loved me, so I love her. And because of that, I love everybody. And that's going to stop with Peggy. People don't have to do what I want them to do. Because I'm always happy. I'm never, ever sad. I'm never depressed. Because Jesus loves me. And that's all I'm focusing on. I can talk about sin all day long. That's not my focus. My focus is, because I'm in a relationship, a love affair with Jesus, I can look at the sin and it's nothing to me. It doesn't trouble us at all. Because everyone I'm dealing with is locked in sin and death. I want to get them set free. Not just the ones in the world, but the ones that are in the church that are pretending like they're mature Christians when they're not. They've got all kinds of spots and wrinkles that I don't want them to miss out. So let's go after and get the sin exposed so we can iron it out and wash it out until they're clean and happy in this world. It's easy to teach people when they're in love. But we've got to make sure everybody's really in the covenant and not just talking about a covenant. It is, you see, everybody that came out of Egypt didn't go into the promised land. Only two people made it. That's not a very good group. Because they were legalists. Even Moses himself was a legalist. He didn't get in either. He could look over, but he couldn't get there. That's where the church is today. The church is looking over at what we ought to be on earth, not what we ought to be in heaven, as though heaven were in the future rather than today. The church today is saying, well, the promised land is for the future. No, it isn't. It's for today.
Right.
I'm not going to love Peggy in the future when I get to heaven. I'm loving Peggy right now.
Yeah.
I do. I don't want another wife. I don't want anything. I'm totally pleased, happy, completely, 100%. And she isn't making me happy. Because I'm happy, I'm loving.
Well, love is...
Yes, he got in because we know that when Jesus came along, he got in through Jesus. The reason why he didn't get in is because of the law. His office, his purpose in life, not personal, his office was law. Law cannot take you into the promised land. Only the Spirit. Joshua, which means Jesus, Yeshua, brought him into the promised land. And only Joshua and Caleb went in. The other people that were with him were all children. They also went in. But none of the adults went in. They waited 40 years until they were all dead off. So that's where we are today, and the other ministers that teach what I'm teaching also, and there are other ministers, those are the ones that we all agree that the church today is in the wilderness. It's not yet in the promised land. It hasn't entered in. That's just talk. You know, you can talk all day long about what it's like on the other side of Jordan, but you have to enter into it and not just talk about it. And if there's sin, you don't get in. You can't go in with sin. Now, it's what you said. It shouldn't rain. Shouldn't rain.
But that is what the Holy Spirit is doing is right now. It's calling us to come into that rest.
Right. 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 See, the church is afraid today to get into sin. If it gets into sin, it'll lose all its members. If we talk about sin, we'll lose all our members. Well. You're right. We're going to lose.
You know.
You're right. It's good. It's good. I love it. Yes, Peggy.
I explained that all the perfect is left.
We just got the riff raff. All right. Peggy wants to say something.
I just wanted to comment on what the Lord said. She's saying that we need to concentrate on who we are.
Are you
I'm
sure?
I'm not enjoying the fact that we can sin,
right.
But I love to see my
sure. Praise God.
I always
right. That's good.
The sound is different. Like it was like I'm going to lie to the Savior rather than. So that didn't sound.
No, I didn't think you were saying that. No, what she's saying is if you have a picture of Jesus and you're in love with Jesus, you're going to grow. And that's true. There's no question about that. But the question is, how do you do that? And what I'm saying is, you cannot do that just by talking positive about Jesus all the time. You also have to deal concretely, like the Bible does, with sin and call it what it is.
Okay, and I'll say I deal with my sin every morning.
Good.
I
good.
Journal it.
I believe it.
I believe everything.
It. I believe
and
it.
And I come here rooted. Right. Right. But I deal with it every
right. Day. And we push you down, then you go back and get your
food. Okay, I'm done talking.
No. I like what you're saying. I think it's funny. That's great. Great.
It's so good to say the word and know.
Yes. God is good.
Okay.
Well, we're probably not going to get to these virtues. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Get oil in your lamp. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. You know. You need, what is the oil? The oil is the Holy Spirit, not legalism. The oil is the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. And where does he come from? Just what Dolores is saying. It comes from beholding Christ. When you behold the Lord, that's when you change. That's what makes the change. But anyway, you didn't say anything wrong. What you said is correct. You've got to focus on Jesus. You can't grow up by looking at your sins and focusing on your sins. But it doesn't mean you don't talk about them, as the New Testament does. You've got to talk about them because they're real. But they're not a focus. They're not a focus. What it is that the body of Christ is focused either on sinning and so they don't think they can get in, or that they haven't sinned when they're lying. So we're not worried about you. We're not worried about those that are growing in the Lord. We're worried about those that are not getting anywhere. Something is wrong, because if this group was really that bright and shiny, they ought to be coming in. You know, the wicked ought to be convicted, and the legalistic ought to be struck dumb, like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a legalist. He had to be knocked off his high horse, and Jesus, you know, had to rescue him and open his eyes. It was a miracle to show him his sin. He had to see his sin. His sin was not committing adultery. His sin was being too religious. Two different sins. And that's why Paul is the, you know, spokesman for God on legalism. And that's the difference between the wise and the foolish. There's so much language in the New Testament about not getting into heaven with sins, that if we ignore that, then we're just fooling people that, oh yeah, but know about Jesus and so on, you'll be fine. But they're just covering over all this sin. And then I'll be guilty someday for not having brought it up. I'll be guilty because you didn't say anything to everybody. You just told them about Jesus, how wonderful he was, and you didn't notice that no one was getting a hold of it, or very few people were getting a hold of it. No, I'm responsible for everybody in the family. I want all the children, everybody in my family. I don't want some of my children to get Jesus. I want all of them to get it. I don't want some to eat at the table. I want them all to eat at the table. I don't want some of them to be blessed and get part of the inheritance. I want all of them. I don't want some of my children to make it and others not. So my burden is not to tell about sin and focus on sin. My burden is, I don't want people to be caught by that. So let's talk about it, bring it out in the open so you can see what Jesus is all about. That's why Jesus came, to set people free. But if you never mention it, they're not going to get free. And these churches are not. These messages that are lifting up Jesus, and by the way, I did it for 25 years. I never talked about sin. Anybody here can tell you that. I never talked about that. I just talked about Jesus all the time because I was in love. I talked about what I found, and it wasn't working. And it just dawned on me after 25 years, you know, that is not working. Yeah, right. Because people are uncomfortable. You see, I wasn't uncomfortable with my sin. I'm not uncomfortable at all. I confessed it every day, readily, easily, just like you say you're doing. I wasn't uncomfortable with hearing about it. In fact, the more I heard about sin, it was great because, oh, yeah, I do that dirty trick. Yeah, I'm a deceiver like that. And that helped me to realize, because I love Jesus, that helped me then to get rid of it. But I didn't even know you could. I didn't even know how many I had. But when I began seeing it, I realized, wow, yeah, I got to get rid of that. That's a spot or a wrinkle. And I was going to go in confidently thinking, well, I love Jesus, so I'm okay. But it isn't just loving Jesus. That's just getting out of the world and getting into the wilderness. Now, I want to be a Christian, but Peggy kept saying, well, you're not one. And she was going not about my confession, about my love for Jesus. She could see I love Jesus and confessing it, but she wanted to see some evidence for herself. That's why she was stuck. Because she said, well, I don't see Jesus in you. I hear you talking about him, and I believe you're a Christian. But where is the action? I don't know, I said. You know, I don't know. I love Jesus, though. Well, good for you, was her response. Good for you, but it doesn't do me any good. So that I began to realize, you know, you're right. I'm not doing the will of God. I'm just talking about it, looking at it, and so on, but it's not helping me. But looking at my sin and listening to Peggy, that helped me. Well, what?